Hey, it's time for Voice Over Body Shop one more time. Believe it or not. And George and I are just going to talk about the last 13 years, essentially.
A little reminiscing, yeah. A little bit of sharing some of the fun show art, you know, the YouTube thumbnails that Dan's been making all these years on his own.
Yeah.
You guys may not know that he makes them all himself. So he'll be showing some highlights and how he does it.
Yeah, and we have a very special announcement that everybody's gonna love.
I think you're gonna love our little fun new feature that we've built on the website, and which we'll be demonstrating tonight.
So that's
stick
right.
Stick around for that.
That's right. And if you've got a question, throw it in the chat room. Depending on where you are,
we're gonna answer.
We are, you know, we're on Facebook. We're on our YouTube.
How long are we running tonight?
Until we're done.
Hour and a half.
No, Sue only has an hour, so
we're having a hard out. I can keep running the show if you got to walk out of here.
Yeah. Anyway, time for Voice Over Body Shop one more time now.
Voice Over Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, the home of Harlan Hogan's signature products. Source Elements, the folks who bring you Source Connect. VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training. VoiceActor.com, your voiceover website ready in minutes. VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for voiceover success. And by World Voices, the industry association of freelance voice talent. And now, here's your hosts, Dan and George.
Well, hi there. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VOBS. So, back in before Thanksgiving.
In the before time. No.
In the, yeah.
Not the before times.
Yeah, no. It was
sometime last year.
Now it's in the after times.
Right. What happened?
Well, we decided we were going to take some time off.
Mm-hmm.
And
we prescribed it.
Yes. We said, okay, well, the holidays are coming up. Everything is just a mess. And let's just take it easy for a couple of months.
Let's take a beat. Let's maybe reframe the show.
We were
let's
talking about
give it a makeover.
Right. We wanted to talk about podcasting
more
a little
podcasting.
Bit more.
Podcasting. Yeah, exactly.
And then the week where we would normally do the show came along.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm not into it right now.
Uh-huh.
after a bit of a vacation, and
you
then
started realizing that you didn't mind missing the responsibility.
Right.
Of putting the show on.
My Sunday mornings were very busy.
Yeah.
Because we would get up, we'll watch the Sunday morning talk shows, and I would sit there and I would put out the banners,
doing a lot of them,
and promoting the show and stuff. And I want to really enjoy my coffee on Sunday morning,
mm-hmm.
and because just the way things were lined up,
yep.
I'm like, I've had enough.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, we've been doing this show since March 22nd, 2011.
Holy cow. So we just passed that magic
13 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was.
How did we get the thumbs up on screen? Is that a new Facebook feature?
Yes.
Or a new Mac feature?
No, it's a Mac feature.
Oh, you must have Sonoma.
Oh, maybe. No, I don't have Sonoma. Maybe Snow. Who knows what's on there? I don't know. I turn on the computer and it's there in the morning and it works.
Zoom feature, you have to say something upbeat.
There you go.
This is great.
You can get fireworks.
It just turned out that I was ready to retire. I was about to turn 67. There was lots of stuff going on. If you read our message in Facebook,
mm-hmm.
About what was going on, and there was a lot of surgery between now and then.
Yeah.
I mean, I had back surgery 10 days ago. I would show you my scar, but that would really be showing off.
Yeah. Don't need
to. The last thing you want to see is my tuchus on the air here. So, mm-hmm. but, you know, I can't lift things.
Yeah.
But I can walk standing up straight.
Yeah, that's
which I
huge.
Have not done for years. I mean, everybody thought I was
used
Groucho
to
Marx
it that way. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And but now I'm like walking straight. I mean,
amazing.
I was walking around the block the next day. It's amazing
that's
what
incredible.
They did.
Incredible.
Yeah. I mean, they had to take a big piece of my, you know, one of my vertebrae out.
Yeah.
Scrape off all the you know, the arthritis that's in there from all those years of playing hockey and sitting like this.
The irony that being active all your life made you almost completely inactive.
Right, right. You know, and because of that, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't play golf. I want to learn how to play pickleball, although I'm really late to the party.
So you got to wait till it gets cool again.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe so, like 75, 80 when you're in the retirement community.
I'm in a retirement community.
We're playing banana tennis.
Banana tennis?
Oh, I thought we were doing pickleball. What are you? Trying to say something funny here.
The pickleball is what we used to play street hockey with. So now they're like, well, why don't we just play tennis with it? And now every commercial you see people playing nobody's playing tennis anymore. They're all playing
I have a funny story about that. So on the VO Atlanta, I was hanging out with some voice actors, some young voice actors. And one of them told me that she was looking for an apartment, but there's
a pickleball court.
But it had the problem was is that it did have a pickleball court. And the damn things are noisy. It's like tonk, 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 you know? And she's like, so she literally said, I'm running outside. I'm so sorry for not having your name at the top of my mind right now. I'm going to look you up because it's a great story. But she ran out. She went, she's like, I'm going to look at my apartment now. They're like, okay. She's like, I'm going to go in there and shut the door and just see what I hear, you know? She's like, well, wouldn't you know it, when I was in there, there was no pickleball going on. So I came back another time prepared. And she said, I came back, put a microphone in the room, brought her equipment, set it up in the apartment, hit record, ran out to the pickleball court and started hitting the pickleball
just
on
to
the
see
court,
what it sound like.
Then ran back upstairs. I was like, that is freaking genius.
Yeah.
But that's what we do. Like when we evaluate people's home studios for noise issues, we tell you to put up your mic.
Right.
Record the environment. What are we here? What are we going to have to fix, right?
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Why don't we go back and really talk about why we started this show?
Yeah.
Some of the exciting things that led up to it. That was back in 2011 when the world was a very different place. But George and I met at a voice conference because you were brought in as a replacement for somebody who had been deported. So everybody knows who I'm talking about. You had a slide presentation on PowerPoint.
Yep.
That was just a little over the top.
A little bit too TMI.
Right.
There was just too much information in this slideshow.
Right. And I was responsible for producing that room at that particular conference. And I'm watching these slides. And I'm like, oh my God, he is going to go way over people's heads.
You could tell. You knew this was way off target.
Right. Because we do the same thing. We help people with home studios. Even back in, I started doing this about 2005, 2006. And I run, I'm like, hey, listen, this is way over your head, or over everybody's head. Let's go through these slides and let's take a few out.
Yes.
And we took about 2/3 of them out, as I recall. I said, you do this, they're going to be kissing your feet at the end of this.
Well, this slide right here, I'm going to show you guys if I can. This was the first slide I was going to show everybody as this is what you should have in your studio. So no guarantees I can actually get this on the show, but I'm going to try. But if I go to share and stop screen and share screen again and present, it has to be within Chrome, doesn't it? Can you share other apps?
I have no idea.
I'll just share my whole screen.
Okay.
Let's just let it go. Let's just let her rip.
All right.
Chaos ensues. Here we go. This is what I was going to show to the students who I didn't know. I mean, the first 10 voice actors I probably set up were all promo people.
Right.
With ISDN.
Right.
And all this crap. So I was like, this is what you need in your home studio. Dan's like, no! Oh my God, no. In fact, I still use the slide as sort of a joke.
Yeah.
You know, like I'll show this as the first slide. Like at VO Atlanta, I did the mic to MP3, which is really kind of like everything I know about recording, you know, within reason. And the first thing I would show is this one, you know, and I'd just be like, just kidding.
People sitting in the audience going,
it's
just a tad intimidating.
Very intimidating.
We can cut out about 5 or 6 things that are on that in that picture.
Dan talked me down. Realized, and he's like, here's look at this.
Well, look at that. There's heavy George.
This is slide one of that thing, and here's all the stuff we're going to talk about, and It was going to go off the rails quickly, and Dan reeled me back in, and I'm so glad that you did, Dan.
Yes, and we became fast friends after that.
Yeah,
because I also remember you were promoting that mobile system.
You know, yeah, VO2Go.
VO2Go.
Yeah,
and I was pretty impressed with that.
Yeah,
and we stayed in touch, and we did a couple of podcasts together,
mm-hmm.
and then we decided, you know, let's do this as an actual podcast, but let's see. I can't remember why we decided to do it on camera. Oh, so we could demonstrate stuff.
Right.
And
No, it wasn't even that. We decided to do it on camera from my perspective because I couldn't find a way to do live shows that didn't have a video attached.
Right.
There was no platform that I could find that was we used Ustream.
Right.
And there was nothing as easy as Ustream.
Because we had a pay-per-viewer too, which was...
Yeah, there was nothing really as easy and straightforward as that to just go live.
Right.
And I was like, well, I guess we'll just have a static picture of you and me on camera or just sitting like there and then that's it. And I was like, well, we have a camera. Let's just be on camera.
Right.
That was a huge mistake. Because being on camera, live streaming video is a big pain in the tuchus.
Tuchus.
A big pain in the tuchus. We have gone through more changes to how we produce this show. I mean, let me see if I can remember all the variations of how we've done our show.
We did.
Started with Ustream. So that was me at my home on on a desktop computer with a very complicated mixer, which I didn't even need, but I had for some reason. You called it the Medusa. Right. And then whatever webcam I had, and then you in Buffalo, me in Santa Monica, you in Buffalo, and we would use Ustream, and we would go live, and we would actually, it was really complicated because we were taking calls by Skype.
Right.
Right? So we were, or was it some other way? You and me were on Skype.
Right.
That's how everybody was seeing us.
Right.
But then we were taking calls by POTS, like landline phone.
Maybe it was I think it was by Skype.
I must have had another phone system. I think I had a second computer. I know, guys.
It was,
I'm sorry.
It was 13 years
ago. I think I had another computer that was dedicated to Skype duties.
Right.
And that
and then
was
you inputted
for the
call-ins. Right, right.
And so we had that set up because we were trying to be car talk. We wanted to take calls.
Right.
Well, I mean, Dan's been in radio. I didn't know that the way these shows mostly work is it's 100% pre-recorded. You know, I didn't realize that, like, what they do and the magic of how Car Talk is so seamless and so well run is that it's all pre-taped.
Right, and they can edit it.
It's all tightly
and they can
edited.
Say, oh, you're going to be calling at such and such a time. And
I thought, like, we were trying to get callers to call in at the right time. It was a nightmare to do. It was really hard.
Right.
And then, so pretty quickly, we realized live call-ins wasn't going to be a thing.
And then we had Pat Fraley on.
Yeah.
And a few other people that we knew.
Yeah, Bob Bergen was one of
our Bergen
earliest.
And
Pat was number one.
Right.
Maybe Bob was number two.
Yeah. And then there were a bunch of other people we started bringing on
as guests. Right.
Yeah. But we that first we had Tom Kenny.
Yeah. Tom Kenny was a heck of a get.
Yeah.
I got to thank Tara Strong for that one because Tara invited me to this. It was like a fundraiser event for saving animals.
Right.
And Tom is a huge animal lover like Tara. And she invited me and she was like, it's going to be fun. If you want to come, Tom's going to be there. I'm like, oh, I'd love to get Tom on our show. Long story short, I gave him my card, you know, they had the lineup where people were having their stuff signed,
right,
you know,
right.
And I said hi to him. And I said, gave him my card. And he was super kind. And he was like, sure, I'll come on the show. Not only did he come on the show, he literally came into my house to be on the show in the flesh.
Right.
I mean, that was
And that's when we used incredible. To do the show where you and I would talk tech for the first half hour.
Yeah, we would, no, hour. We would, you and I did tech for a solid hour.
Yeah.
And the guests had to just wait.
Right.
And we had two huge stars that did this, Tom Kenny.
And June Foray.
And June Foray.
Yeah. Very late in her life, but she was great. I mean, she was pushing a book at the time. And, and I had the opportunity to go, hey, Rock, watch me pull a rabbit out of my sleeve. And she's like, but that trick never works. It was
fantastic.
Amazing. She was the voice of Rocky Squirrel. But, and then people wanted to be on the show. So we got a lot of you know, the top people in the business.
If you're looking for the Tom Kenny one, by the way, that was before VOBS.
That was East-West Audio Body Shop.
That's right. So you're going to have to dig a little deeper to find that one.
Right.
Eventually, the chatbot's going to have everything from East-West Audio Body Shop in it, too.
Oh, good.
It's going to have literally everything we've ever done. It just takes more time to scrape it all. But anyway.
Well, you haven't told them about that yet, but we'll get to it.
I know. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah.
It's that decaf.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but it was fun, and it was, I mean, nobody else was doing it, and certainly nobody was doing it about voiceover.
No, there wasn't a talk show. I don't remember there specifically being a podcast. There may have been a podcast out by that point. I don't really recall.
Right.
But there certainly wasn't like a talk show, and there certainly wasn't like a show about just tech.
Right.
We really thought we were going to do, 2 hours about tech? I think that's what we initially thought.
Yeah.
And we realized that's just too much.
Yeah. Not only that, we were doing it on a Sunday night.
Yeah.
We would do it live on a Sunday night.
Yeah.
And I remember the missus getting really upset because I was, and then in a spare bedroom upstairs
where my
studio was, and Jacob's room was right next to it. And she got really upset because you're going to keep Jacob up.
Going to keep him awake.
Now, when you consider he's now 27 years old.
It gives you an idea.
Yeah, that was
timeline.
13 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so it caused tension.
Yes.
But some of the great, remember my ear, nose, and throat doctor, Joel Bernstein.
That's when I literally learned about what an otorhinolaryngologist is.
Right.
And how to say it.
That's right. And he's, I don't know if Joel's still practicing. And
that was quite a classic. Yeah.
We were singing on there. It was like the early days of television because there were no rules.
It was actually more like cable access.
Well, yeah, it really was. but we were doing it by Skype.
Right.
And then we were capturing that, which was pretty new technology.
Well, that was another classic moment, right? So there was an episode where Skype
died
on my computer, like in my studio. I couldn't get Dan back on Skype. So I got Dan on Skype on my phone. I had it on my phone. So there's a whole 40 minute episode where I'm holding Dan in my hand and talking to Dan like this.
Right.
For the whole thing. And it's just his voice coming out of the speaker, getting picked up on my mic. And that's how we did the show.
Right.
Because the show must go on.
The show must go on. And it always did.
Yes.
I mean, there were only a couple of times when it went totally kabloom.
I mean,
I
can think of maybe one or two ever in our history where we just didn't go on the air that night.
Right.
I mean, maybe. I mean, we always got on the air one way or the other.
That's right.
Even if it was late, even if it was static or like freezing.
Right.
There is actually a lost episode.
There is? There's a couple of those actually.
There's a lost episode and I mean, you guys probably don't know. We did a whole episode with, you remember this guy?
Say the name and then I'll remember the episode.
I'm trying to remember him now.
We're talking Mark, like 500 shows.
Mark Growl.
Oh, yes. Oh,
we tried to do an entire live show from his studio.
Studio, right. We were touring people's studios. We were over at Dave and Dave, and we were at
Voice Tracks West.
We were at Voice Tracks West. Yeah. We were over at the Soundbox LA.
Yeah.
At Tim Friedlander's.
Yep.
And we were doing remotes. We had no idea what the heck.
We didn't realize that the internet was going to be such a problem. We didn't realize that you can't walk down the hallway on a smartphone and have it seamlessly stream audio from the catacombs of a giant building.
Yeah.
No, it was a total disaster. Yeah. It was so bad that we literally didn't air that one.
Right.
Maybe one of these days we should
glue it back together
or recreate it.
Really?
Because Mark is now, he's not retired, but he's not in California anymore.
Right.
I know that much. So we
studio's still there.
But studio's still there and kicking. Yeah. But that was an example of things where things went so poorly.
Right.
That we didn't even, I mean, cause it was live. Right. If you were there that night watching it,
like,
you saw, well, you were the only ones that saw it.
Right.
And it was a total mess.
Right. And we had the saying, it's, East West Audio Body Shop every week. It's Apollo 13. And then things stabilized a little bit.
For a while.
Yeah.
Not for long. So then, let me see, the next iteration of the show after it really kind of went pretty much the same way until you moved here.
Right.
Right. We may have moved from Ustream to something else. I think that's when we moved to Wirecast.
Wirecast,
yeah. Wirecast was the sort of the pro version of Ustream, right? So we moved to Wirecast, and then things pretty much ran along, and then Dan moved here.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's where things got very interesting.
Well, one, because you and I were always doing the show from opposite coasts.
Yeah, that was the east, west.
Right, there was the one time when I just sort of showed up in your studio.
Yeah.
I was out here for...
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, my stepfather had passed away, right. And my mom lived in Orange, and I came out and was like...
Yeah, Lee, it's working, Lee. We see you.
Yeah.
He's in the chat.
And, you know, and then suddenly I just walked in, I'm like, hey, we're together. Then there was the party we had at Angangoose's, our third year anniversary show, where we had probably about 20, 30 people in that huge apartment of hers.
Yeah,
and we were demonstrating studio suit. And
yeah, that was great. That's another classic. I'm realizing now a lot of these ones that we remember fondly were EWABS episodes.
Yeah, they were. Because we had...
We were
fearless.
Yeah.
It's like, let's see if this works.
Yeah, yeah. It was a different era.
Yeah.
But that episode even was before you moved out here.
That was when I decided to move out.
That was me deciding.
Because Larry Hudson, who I know is out there, said, oh, you're going to love it out here if you come and move out here. So I convinced the missus to come out here.
You had a lot of reasons to move out.
Yeah, I mean, my son's at an animation school,
yeah.
And you know, and this is the center of my universe.
The business, the weather.
Well, the weather, yeah. Remember, there was the one intro we had.
Yep.
I said, okay, go down on the beach and shovel some sand.
With my kid, yeah.
Right, and then I had to wait for a snowstorm. And I went out into the driveway. And so it was you flipping sand and then me going...
Uh-huh, and shoveling.
Shoveling snow.
That was a great intro, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And
you know what we should do is put on the website, just have an archive of, like, all the old stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like...
All the old intros.
Just the old intros. Kind of like Mark Garau has a library of outtakes and stuff website. By the way, those are classic. It's Fix in the Mix, I think, is their website, fixinthemix.com. And there's you have to go to the bloopers area.
Right.
There's some gold on there, man. Yeah. Shatner... You know, like...
Oh, yeah, that one's a legendary.
Like, there's some really good stuff on there. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah.
Just a thumbs up.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that I would do every Sunday morning, because we would shoot the show on Monday night, like we're doing right now, is I had to create a banner for Facebook and for the promos that we would send out to our mailing list and in various other places.
Yep.
And there were a few that were my favorites. You know, and how did I do them? I would, like... All right, I would just go and go, you know, Google two guys doing this, or two guys playing baseball, or two guys, and I'd look at all these pictures, and I'm like, okay, we'll try this one.
And thankfully, this is way before generative AI art.
Right. No, this was me using Keynote. Keynote.
And so you were using Keynote all these years, to make those banners.
Yes,
that's awesome.
Because I knew how to do it.
Exactly.
It was easy. Well, let's look at some of those. Put that one. This was fairly recent. I love this one because you have to find the right pictures to go with it. You know, like the pictures of us. So I have to be looking this way and I would go through Facebook and all the pictures that were taken. Because
I don't remember. This one slipped by me. I don't remember this one. This is the Beatles
right
on the roof shot?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Let it be.
It's fantastic.
You know, and you know, but there's things I had to fix. You know, I'm like, okay, I have to put the sky here, but make it look like we're actually there.
No,
I did with the Wright brothers.
Some of them, it's people have no idea how much work you put into it to make it look that.
Show the next one. And then Jacob started drawing these characters of us.
Yeah.
And look how perfect that fit into those.
Yeah. It was a no-brainer.
I think we did it with Yogi Bear and a couple other ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the next one there, Sue? Oh, now, one of the things that I have a real propensity for, and this really came out of, I think, a trip that Marcy and I took to Eastern Europe. We were in Czechoslovakia. We went to the Museum of Communism, which, if you're ever in Prague, go to the Museum of Communism. It's very revealing. It was actually quite interesting. But I had this thing for Soviet propaganda art.
Yeah.
Because it's great stuff, even though it's like Big Brother is watching.
Sure.
And this one was, you know, two guys. One guy's holding like a sickle or something like that. Yeah. And then you had Lennon pointing like that. And I'm like, yeah, let's see if this one works. And that one worked really well for some reason.
I mean, you are quite a history buff, so that makes sense.
Oh, well, absolutely.
That.
Yeah. By the way, there's a great documentary on Netflix called Turning Point, The Bomb in the Cold War.
Oh, yeah.
Watch it. If you guys don't understand what's going on in the world right now, watch that. It's a great review of the Soviet Union and how Putin came to power and why we're in the mess we're
it's
in today.
It's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Exactly. Shirley Bassey.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember the name of the group that did that. It's...
Propeller Heads.
Propeller Head, that's right.
Boom.
Listen to that one. Shirley Bassey was the one who sang Goldfinger.
That's right.
Goldfinger. She sounds great still.
Yeah, no, she can still
60 years later.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
What was that next one?
The next
one. It was like an airplane. Yeah, airplane.
I mean, yes.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. It was the 40th anniversary of
Airplane.
Sue, is
your mic on?
Oh.
Can be.
Yeah. You're on line one there.
You could be interstitially.
Yeah, but it sounded like it was.
Just 1, 2, 1, 2. Pot it up.
Well, my channel one. See, it sounds weird.
Oh, it's on robot mode.
Okay, never. Yeah, we'll
it's turn, one of the. It's one of the keypads on.
Yeah, don't.
Phone.
Yeah, and make sure you turn that off before I have to do anything for.
Did you turn that on purpose?
No, she was just playing with it.
No, I was. I didn't touch it.
Oh.
Okay. I thought you were doing it on purpose.
Never mind. Anyway.
This is an airplane, clearly.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like, how do you, I had to find a picture. You'll notice that's the same picture of me and Paul McCartney.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it is. That's right. Same angle, but flipped.
Right.
And actually, it's
the same picture of you. I flipped it the other
way. That's right. Nicely done. Is that Stryker?
No,
am
that's
Stryker.
Stryker and Leslie Nielsen. Yeah.
Yeah, you're the captain.
And Otto the autopilot.
You're over it. Yeah, and Otto the autopilot. Yeah.
Right, I thought that would work. Now this was for the interface shootout we had.
Oh yeah,
so I'm like, okay,
this is still a good piece of content.
Yeah,
for those that want to share audio interfaces.
Yeah, I mean, audio interfaces have changed a little
bit.
You'll notice
we haven't done one since because it's a big pain in the neck.
Yeah, really. I had to record all this stuff and then we had to chop it all together.
Yeah,
you know, that's the thing. We do the show live. And it made things a lot easier because then we're just like, okay, you know, cut off the end and then cut it into two shows. And
yeah, doing the show live is a part of the secret sauce of how we could maintain doing this over the, you would think doing it live makes things harder. Well, it does make certain things harder. I mean, like I said, I was getting into the point of how we've changed the way we do the show. And when Dan moved here, we had to rethink completely.
Well, we have a studio to do.
Yeah, we have a studio. We have multiple.
Look at this great set we have.
Yeah, of course, if we have a studio, we need multiple cameras. Right. How are we going to have multiple cameras? How are we going to do that?
We figured that out.
We had a pretty good MacBook Pro that we thought was good enough.
It's still sitting on the couch over there, dead battery and all.
But was that before or after the Mac Pro? Mm-hmm. I think the Mac Pro was before the MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
And so we had a cheese grater MacBook, you know, the big tower Mac.
Right.
We had one of those.
Right.
And it was a beast. It was a 12-core monster that we got on eBay.
And still wasn't enough.
No, because, then we had
the PC, which I really referred to as the beast.
We had to get the PC because it turned out that Wirecast,
doesn't work on a Mac.
Was so unstable. It was terrible. That was the main reason this show became Apollo 13 was because of Wirecast.
Right.
We would have so many problems. Every other show, we would have to do troubleshooting to get things where it was a nightmare, right?
Right.
So then we're like, let's scrap it. So I was at NAB. I saw, I think it was Kirk Harnack doing live appearances from NAB. And I'm like, what are you guys running this on? What are you guys using? They're like, oh, it's vMix. I'm like, oh, vMix. Let's get vMix. So I'm getting on the whole vMix thing, right? And they're like, it's Windows only. I'm like, okay. All right. Well, let's get a custom built PC. So then we had a custom built PC just to do vMix.
Yeah.
And that thrusted us back into PC world. And Sue had to learn the vMix interface with Windows, and it was quite a learning curve and a half.
Right.
But it was stable.
Right.
vMix was way more stable, and we did do the live show on vMix for a long time.
Right.
And then...
Then you discovered StreamYard.
Well, we discovered StreamYard because then we had the pandemic.
Oh, right.
So
we had to do the show remote.
We had to do the show remote. So first it was remotely control I was trying to get Sue to remote control the studio VMix computer and then listen to the show via, I think it was Skype or was it Zoom?
It was on Zoom.
So Sue was that's how she was trying to hear what Dan and I were doing. That was the IFB. So Sue could hear us live even if we weren't on the air.
Right.
It was so complicated, and it did not work out well. It was just a train wreck and a half.
Yeah.
So that's when we discovered StreamYard.
Right, which is what we're using now.
It changed everything.
Right.
Because super easy. Like if anybody, while I have my gripes about StreamYard, it does weird things like why Dan and I were jiggling up and down before, and I don't know why. But anyway, it's super easy.
You're still doing it. But
is it doing it now?
Yeah.
It's a weird software. It's all based on the web. It's on Chrome. But in terms of you want to get a live show out on the air with the least amount of absolute headache and frustration, it's probably StreamYard. It's getting better all the time. It's got more features. But that's now 5 years, 4 years running.
Yeah.
StreamYard.
Yeah. So now you're all probably, you know, we're just shooting the poop here about something that's going on.
Memory lane.
It's the top of the hour here.
Already?
It's like 11 o'clock in New York.
Holy cow.
In North Carolina.
Oh, that's right. We've only been on for a half hour.
That's right.
Okay.
So I guess it's time for the big announcement.
Should we? Because
you guys are like, what are you guys going to talk about? What is it? Well, you know, when we decided to stop doing the show, we were thinking, well, how do we promote the stuff that we have? We've got so many hours of material.
That's the thing. There is so much useful evergreen content.
Any question you would ever have about voiceover was probably answered on this show by all the guests we've had on, all the, you know, the coaches and producers. And
if you look at nearly 13 years, all right, let's say an average of an hour per episode because they were split in half.
Well, there was an hour and a half originally.
For a really long time, it was a full hour and a half. Right.
Well, mostly because the guest would continue to talk, and I'm like, okay, how do we get him to stop?
Yeah, I mean, well, the shows were literally each Monday nearly 2 hours.
Right.
Remember?
I'll never forget it.
So you add all that together, and then when we split the show into Tech Talk, I mean, it's got to be like over 1,000 hours of content, maybe a lot more.
If you include eWebs, easily.
Yeah,
because we did over 300 shows as eWebs.
Yeah.
And then we did like 250 shows with a guest.
Yep.
And we did 114 Tech Talks.
114.
So you do the math.
Yeah. I mean,
that's how many hours of material.
It's an insane amount of useful content, right? So then it was like, how do we make this usable and consumable as the show goes on?
And then give me my Sunday mornings back.
Right. So if you go on like Google or if you go on YouTube and you search for things, you can get lucky and find like an episode where something was brought up or somebody was a guest. But beyond that, you don't get much more useful information. And then you got to comb through the episode, find what you're looking
for. Well, I remember Jack DeGolia kept a transcript of what we were doing.
In the good old days, we would actually have a live human doing show notes.
I'll bet you Jack's watching too. But
we really did. And so we decided that there needs to be a better way to find stuff. I mean, even for my own personal use, I would be frustrated. I would see things on Facebook, people talking about a certain topic. I'd be like, oh my gosh, we talked about this ad nauseum on our show. Right. If I could only find what's the poignant thing that we said or the moment in the show where we said. Anyway, we found a way.
And you found a way. Because I don't understand any of this stuff.
We found a way.
You kids and your AI. And
we found a way, and it looks something a little bit like this right here. This is our new AI. Now, I'm already logged in, so it's not letting me show the screen blank the way it would normally show it. But you can see John's eye peering through. This is now how you can find everything we've ever talked about on the show. This is our AI, Dan and George.
Yeah.
And so we've built a chatbot. This is now how you can access all these years of content. Everything that's ever been said on the show, every guest, every topic,
and we've talked about
everything, every question like you guys have ever asked, everything that's been spoken on the show, thanks to, let's face it, excuse me, modern technology, machine learning, AI, this is all findable now.
Right.
And so we use the service that allows us to, well, it's not a secret because it literally says on the bottom of the website what it is.
Yeah.
Powered by CustomGPT.ai. I found a thing called CustomGPT.ai while I was sick in bed with COVID the first week of the year. And we were able to use this tool set to scrape and get site maps and find as much useful information that Dan and I have spoken online as possible, ingest it into this thing, and create this tool. And it is...
All you have to do is ask it a question.
It is awesome. And here's a few things. If you guys have done anything with AI-type tools, you're probably quite accustomed to the fact that they hallucinate.
Yes.
This has been...
It makes up stuff.
This has been a rather controversial part of any chat bot, chat GPT type tool set, right? What's so cool about this chatbot system is it doesn't hallucinate. If what you're searching for is not definitively locatable...
It's not going to make it up.
The language model, it doesn't make it up. So, for example, I typed in the question a little bit earlier. Are there any episodes where Sue Merlino was seen on camera? Well, that may have happened at some point. But however, because probably we never said her name, Sue Merlino,
right,
or something like that, the database of everything we've ever said doesn't know where that is. So it says, sorry, we don't have an answer. We recommend getting help from Dan or George or go to the website or, you know, we'll help you somehow, you know.
Right.
So it won't make up an answer, but it comes up with all kinds of good stuff.
Right.
And the better your question, the better the answer.
Right.
Like you can throw at it tons of details and it will formulate some pretty useful stuff. So if you guys have some good questions in the chat, I will start throwing them in there and you guys can search it and see what it comes up with and see. So give me some good questions while Dan thinks of something useful to say.
Well, I mean, it's easy to find this because we put it on all of our websites. It's on, of course, VOBS.tv.
Yes, it's at the very top.
If you look, you look right above us, if you're watching on our website, it says, the chatbot thing. You click on that, it'll take you to the chatbot.
It literally says, the best shop talk in voiceover is now in chatbot form. And then right below in yellow, it says, introducing AI Dan and George chatbot. Click here to learn more. So the way it works. If you click on that, it's going to take you to, yes, it's going to take you to a paywall. So at the moment, it's priced at $20. We think maybe that's a little bit steep.
An introductory price of $10.
We're going to drop it down to $10 a month. And so what happens is once you log into this thing, you got to put in your credit card info. But what it's going to do is it's going to give you 14 days.
2 weeks.
To hammer on this thing and play around with it and see if it's actually useful for you and what you're doing and what you're learning. And if it is, then it will start billing your card. You guys know how free trial subscription stuff works. It works like pretty much all the other
cancel at any time, but why would you want to?
Right. So we're going to adjust the price. Maybe we'll take a break later and I'll fix the price. And you guys can start playing around with it, but we are really proud of this. It's the way to get information we never thought possible.
It's every question that you could possibly have about voiceover. I mean, performance,
covered.
You know, improv, every tech question we've ever covered. You know, by the way, we'd like to have your questions because George and I would still like to do what we do best, which is answer your questions.
Yeah. Well, we're actually kind of working on a question from Justin because Justin Ramos said, Dan, can you tell us your daily VO routine compared to when you first started as compared to now, you know, like checking emails, auditioning, checking P2Ps. And then a question for me from Eldorado to GTT, what have you done about your routines? Holy cow, that's a whole show.
It is.
One question.
Well, I can.
Do you want to get to that one right now?
Sure, yeah. What's my routine like? Well, let's see. I get up at 7:20 every morning, then stay in bed till about 8:20.
Yeah.
I'm retired. You know, I'm collecting my Social Security. I don't have to answer to anybody except the missus.
Yeah, yeah.
And Mishka, and sometimes Jacob. Mm-hmm. Mishka's the dog. But I will come out here after breakfast because this is a separate studio. This is garage. This was the great thing about this place when we bought it. It was a recording studio. The first, when we first bought the place. And so George and I worked it to reconvert it into a voiceover studio and a television studio, which is why we look so darn good on here. We got lights. We got everything is, of course, there was all the cable that was in here, which is now sitting in a closet. It's enough to support, a tank hanging from it. I'll go check my email. But when I first started, it was a lot of going to the P2Ps and looking for auditions and firing those out. And
was there a point where you just decided I don't need to deal with the P2Ps anymore?
Yeah, about 4 or 5 years ago. Well, when one of them really went south with how they were managing things, I remember actually going to their office and saying, you can't do this, as were a lot of other people.
Yep.
And I came home and I immediately took myself off of that one. I was on the other one that had a numerical name to it.
We're not saying the names because we don't want to come up in AI search.
Right,
but
exactly.
Anybody that's been watching our show or
has
dipped
about
a toe in the voiceover business knows we're talking about.
And I built my business on those.
Right.
The one was very good before they decided to change their management plan.
They changed their priorities.
They really
did. That's
what
it was.
It suddenly we were no longer their customers. We were their commodity.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that very much.
Right.
But I built a good, solid clientele from that. And I had a couple of big contracts with a couple of companies that were constantly sending me stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started doing stuff like I became president of a local board, which I'll never recommend because what do they say? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. no good deed goes unpunished.
Unpunished.
There's a lot of that. And I became very philanthropic and started doing that. That started to take away from my time from doing voiceover. Then for some reason, we started doing this about a couple of years later, and that took up time. But we were doing the show to promote the fact that we were consulting with people on home voiceover studios, and a lot of people were getting into the business, and they needed assistance with that. I spent about 50% of my time doing voiceover and 50% of my time helping people with their home studios, and 50% of my time taking care of my dogs.
And 50% of your time being a dad.
That's right.
And 50% of your dad being a time being a husband.
Right, right. So now I get to do all that stuff actually. And today, it's pretty easy because my clients send me stuff. They've been doing it for years. And,
I count on you.
Right.
And you're a trusted voice.
Right. And people keep sending me stuff through my specimen collection cup on my webpage. And it's a nice leisurely life out here in Southern California where the sun is shining except for this winter. It's not bad. And because it's so relaxing, I don't need the stress of trying to put this together every week.
Right.
Getting a guest and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So not that I didn't like doing it. I just got tired of doing that when there are other things in my life I needed to be doing. Looking after my family and, make up for all the time that, perhaps I was maybe not paying as much attention to them as I needed.
Sure.
Because this is a place, great place to come out and hide.
Yes, yes.
More than anything.
Well, I never.
And you all know what I'm talking about.
I never had that place to hide in my house with my daughter growing up. And my daughter, when she was able to, when she was at the age of being able to run and walk, was disruptive. I don't know if
and she would always run and walk onto the show, as I recall.
Yeah, she would love to stick her head on the show. Do you ever remember hearing her banging on the door to my office?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Very loudly. Like a kick drum. Boom, 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 like a monster. So my kid was very disruptive. So, things have not, in terms of my business and what I do, things really have not changed. I still don't do voiceover. As crazy and stupid as that sounds, the more I say it to myself, I never dipped my toe in the voiceover business. I still run my business full time. there was a distracted moment where I just decided to join another company. From 2013 to
we won't mention any
2017,
names.
I joined another company because I was, you know, I was tired of running my own business because it's freaking exhausting sometimes.
Yeah,
and stressful. And so that was a little distraction. But since then, you know, that was before I joined that company, I was Eldorado Recording Services. I met my buddy Graham Spicer, who helped me do a remake of my company, a rebrand. We changed to VO Studio Tech. Graham and I joined this company. We worked there together for 4 years. Then we both were asked to leave, and we did, and we went off to do new things. And that's when I started George the Tech. I had to come up with a new brand. I had to come up with everything literally in one night. And that's what I did.
Sometimes inspiration hits. You got to go for it.
I was kicked out the plane, and I built another plane from spare parts that I had still strapped onto me as I plummeted to Earth. Managed to not crash into the ground, and then fixed the plane, and the plane's gotten a little bit better now with our latest iteration of George the Dot Tech. The new website, which launched a year ago now, has been quite a journey and quite a process, but it's the first time we built something from scratch, from the ground up, and it's been a huge amount of work.
Yep.
Huge amount of work. It's probably I spend... Not so much now, but for at least 6 months to 8 months, it was probably a quarter of my time was like just keep getting the website where you see it now and improving it. And now it's coming up with services that meet more people's needs and then building a team. That's especially since the new site came out.
Quite a list of people you got working with you
now. It's been a huge part of a huge priority was to have more people that have more specialties. Not only am I just one person, I just didn't want to continue trying to pretend that I'm an expert at everything.
Right.
I'm not an expert at everything. I'm not an expert at Studio One. I'm not an expert at Logic. I'm not an expert at Pro Tools. I can get around in these things. I'm okay in Reaper.
Which is why we tell people not to use those things.
There's a
makes it a lot easier.
You know, some people end up getting training from somebody who's an expert at one thing. You know, like there's a guy for Studio One. There's schools that still teach Pro Tools to brand new voice actors. Don't understand that at all. But anyway,
keep it simple, kids.
I don't want to learn everything new, and I don't want to convince people that they need to learn these crazy new things. So my job is to be the advocate for the voice actor. Always really has been finding the right tools, things that are easy, reliable, and efficient. That's really my thing. And that's what I still do as George the Tech.
Right.
Just trying to stay relevant. And I guess the only thing that's really, really new, other than the chatbot experiment, is I've just decided that while I was at VO Atlanta, it would be a good time to launch a new membership. So we actually have a membership program now. Now, I've offered this for years, but only to under the radar.
Yeah.
Not like online. Just, you know, a client of mine that's really busy. I'm like, you know, you're hiring me a lot. Let's work something out. So I do have a number of VIP clients who I see on a regular basis or help them. Well, now, really, it's open to everybody now. Mm. So if you're interested in getting like a more of a flat rate type support, you can do that on georgethe.tech. You'll see a menu item for memberships and see what you think. See if there's something there that's useful to you. We have bi-monthly meetings where we just talk tech. It's Ask Me Anything. You can get access to sound checks, which is your specimen collection cup, and unlimited access to the chatbot, which we're going to demonstrate here in a little bit. Actually, I have a question for for the VOBS chatbot.
Yeah. I also forgot that I became president of World Voices.
Oh, you forgot that little thing.
That's also taking up a lot of time right now.
Yeah.
My term is up in October, but you know, I decided to take the organization and the times have changed, and what we originally came up with, I don't think it was really as relevant today as it was back in 2012 when we started it.
Yeah.
And so we're really marketing our searchable directory of our professional members, voiceover.biz.
Yeah.
And we're promoting it to the people who hire us, and they are hiring people from there. So if you join WoVo as a professional member, if you qualify, you can be on there, and that's like You know, is it a pay to play? Well, it's $99 a year to be a member of the organization, but we got other stuff. We've got our demo player.
It's a very minimal cost.
Right? Yeah. You know, for a professional organization, absolutely. Yeah.
I pay more than that for every other organization I'm a part of.
Yeah. And then we've got WovoCon, mm-hmm. which is going to be more like FAFCON this year in Chicago, which
now,
is going to be great.
A bunch of you know what FAFCON is. Yeah. In a nutshell, explain the FAFCON.
FAFCON is an unconference where it's not where you bring in lots of big speakers to attract people. It's members helping members, essentially, and expert, you know, people who, everybody's got some sort of expertise in something, in their voiceover. Some people are really good at accounting. Some people are really good at marketing. Some people happen to be fairly good at home studio stuff, you know, until they don't know. And then they ask you and me about it. And then, or somebody else who's going to give them some long, complicated answer. And, but we have, you know, we've got videos on stuff. We have, you know, distinguished speaker series. We've got webinars, you know, that sort of thing. But the FAFCON model was people would get together on the first night and say, what do you want to talk about? And everybody would write it down and everybody would look at the cards and go, well, I want to talk about that. And you'd put a sticker on it. So the ones that got the most votes.
Was it limited to 100 people?
100 people back then, yeah. We're going to probably keep this to 150.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
imagine 100 people in one, like, you know, conference room,
right,
sitting there with post-it note type things, you know, writing down what their topic is.
Right.
They want to talk
and
about.
Then it's more of a discussion than it is presentation. Some people come with, you know, sort of.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a lot of people that are coaches, you know, that kind of have a spiel.
Right.
Like I did.
But it's non-commercial.
Yeah.
It's not like we're pushing people, you know, buy this guy's book, buy this, you know, which is, by the way, something that I have a big problem with in our business right now. If you've only been doing it for a year, you're not qualified to teach other people how to do it. You know, I spent, you know, 12 years in broadcasting and have a degree in broadcasting. I know how all that stuff is. Everybody else is just guessing. Now they're getting online and going, trying to create a TV show or a podcast. That's what I used to do. It was the public service programming on Saturday and Sunday morning, you know, intro, body, outro, boom, puts on big reel of tape, put it on there on Sunday morning, hit the button and watch Sunday morning TV while that thing's running for half an hour. And then wait, got to go to the next one. You know, that sort of thing. that was my life for a few years.
Yeah.
Where was I going with that? What were we talking about?
It's not important.
That's what happens when...
It's not important, but I do have a question for the chatbot.
Oh, good.
So here we go. I'm going to...
And the question is...
Show me the chatbot, would you? So this question came in from Justin. I think it was from Justin. Sorry. Who was the one that said, here's a question for the chatbot? Chris did. Chris Walsh did.
Okay.
So here's his question. All right, we're going to paste this into the chatbot together, kids, and watch what happens real time. So go to the chatbot, paste.
And the question is?
For the chatbot search, on which episode did Mark Cashman explain what to say to clients if they want to know what they are paying for? What did he say?
Look at that.
Let's see what we get. So Mark Cashman discussed what to say to clients if they want to know what they are paying for in VOBS episode 236. He mentioned that when giving clients a quote, it's important to itemize the three things they are buying before than just one. This approach helps clients understand the value of what they are purchasing and clarifies the breakdown of services provided. Boom. Gold.
Come on, guys.
I mean, that's pretty useful.
It
right?
is.
And then right below that, it says, where did this answer come from? And then
there's,
so
there's the video.
There's references to the actual episode of when that was mentioned. Now, it's interesting. It shows four sources.
Yeah.
So I don't know how it derives which.
Well, Mark was on the show a bunch of times. So
yeah, it does show multiple times when he was on the show. But it says that this was the best answer to that question. So guys, you have no idea how complex this is. I watched the, a highlight reel of the NVIDIA keynote.
Ooh.
NVIDIA is the biggest company that you probably don't know about unless
graphics
you're
cards.
Unless you're a gaming nerd or you don't know, but they are, I think the second or third biggest company in the world. like right up there with Microsoft and Apple. Mm. And they are the ones that build the processors, the servers, the chips, all this stuff that makes stuff like this work. It's unbelievably complex. It just seems like a search engine. But what it's doing is it's searching through, in our case of this particular chatbot, the library, it's called the language model, mm-hmm. is built of just shy of 10 million characters. And so it's searching through all that, figuring out what's the most relevant way to come back to you with your from your query with something useful that really makes sense, and then formulating a very well-written response. But what sets this apart from just your generic ChatGPT? By the way, I have a ChatGPT account from OpenAI, and it's pretty freaking cool. I make a lot of chatbots. But this one is absolutely has guardrails. It will not hallucinate. No. If it can't find the answer that's relevant to your question, and it's not within the database, it will simply say, I don't have an answer for you.
Refine your search a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Just come up with a bit different question, because it's not going to make stuff up, kids.
Yeah.
And that's a really big deal about this. So
how do you like that?
Yeah, there's one. Maybe we can throw some more in there later if anybody else comes up with them. Are there any questions for me and Dan? That's the question.
Well, we asked for them. There should be some.
Got in here.
While you're doing that, we have to thank Jeff. Jeff Holman.
Jeff Holman.
Yeah, who's probably out there watching going, why can't I participate? Because,
this is a shoot in the breeze episode.
Yeah.
It's a very loose.
Yeah, but he would monitor our chat room.
Yes.
And,
Shout out to Jeff Holman. Yeah. Hollywood Jeff Holman.
Yeah, yeah. Hollywood Holman, yeah. I can't remember his IMDb. It's probably still hidden on our...
Oh, got a question on screen now.
Yeah. So, thanks, Jeff. That was was a real help.
You loyally helped us almost from the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah. When we really needed it.
Yeah. So thanks, Jeff.
Man. So we got another question here.
Yeah. This one came from Lena Del Robel, which is actually a new name to me. Hey guys, you're the best, and I've really enjoyed your shows. Thank you. Congratulations and thanks for everything. What are your thoughts on the Earthworks icon mic? It says needs no interface. I found it on Sweetwater. Okay, so that must be the Earthworks icon USB
mic. Yeah.
So they make two versions, the USB and the XLR. I don't have any personal experience with that model, but I do have its brother.
Okay.
Called the Ethos.
Oh, I remember you talking about
the Earthworks Ethos.
Right.
And I have nothing but great things to say about the Ethos. It's been fantastic. I have not used the USB variation of the Icon, so I don't know. I don't have anything specific to say about it. I'm sure there's some good YouTube on the USB. Remember, specifically the USB version, because they make, when you have a USB mic, it's going to have different quirks.
Right.
And we had different behaviors than an XLR mic.
Right. You know? It may not have quite the gain that you'll have with an interface or stuff like that. But
is the self noise going to be as clear? Is there going to be more noise? A lot of times these USB mics, they kind of cut corners on certain components to physically put them in the mic. And they're not always the most clear sounding.
Right. There are some good USB mics. I mean, we know the
Sennheiser makes one.
Sennheiser makes a new one.
MK4 Digital.
Digital, yeah.
It's and the Rode NT1 fifth gen.
Which is an amazing mic at a fabulous price point.
Two probably the best USB mics going.
Yeah.
They have a common thread between them is that they have zero knobs, buttons, switches, or jacks.
It's all software driven.
It's just a USB cable, right? So everything happens in the computer. There's no headphone jack, but they are really good sounding USB mics. Yeah. But if you're really looking at Ethos, if you're really looking at Earthworks, check out the Ethos.
Mm.
Super impressive mic that can easily do voiceover work as well as podcasting and broadcast stuff.
Yeah. Then again, the bottom line on all of this is if it picks up your voice and it's a fairly good microphone, it probably doesn't matter. Whatever mic you have is the mic you have.
It's this space around you that matters.
It's The acoustics. The louder you talk, the more the acoustics come into play.
I've been enjoying watching Dan tonight because Dan has been like backing way off and all this stuff and talking, and it still sounds like he's right in front of the microphone.
Right.
Isn't that amazing?
This is the Harlan Hogan VO1A, by the way.
That's the classic right there.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is this room's acoustics are very well done.
Right.
There's this whole wall behind us that's behind this green screen is one ginormous acoustic panel.
Right.
Actually, it's called the studio suit.
Let's show it here.
This is a good time to talk about studio suit for a minute.
Because it's long gone. But there it is.
This is what's behind the green screen, everybody. If you've ever been wondering what's back here.
But it works.
Dude, so what is studio suit while we're talking about
studio suit? Studio suit was something I found in a warehouse in Buffalo. Somebody thought they were tents, and this guy had bought an entire truckload of these things from some government surplus thing.
Wasn't it Quonset hut insulation?
It was insulation for a Quonset hut.
Like exactly. They would put these up in the
Arctic,
out in the field.
Right,
and
for
then
motor
they would have these huge rolls of the stuff.
Right.
And they would roll it out, you know?
And so this guy I knew who owned this Army-Navy store was like, oh, I'm going to use this. People can soundproof their studios with it because that's the stuff you talk about. Like, it's not soundproofing. It's sound dampening material.
Yeah, it's damping, yeah.
And we put it in people's closets. You didn't need a bass trap. It just sucked sound into it. And, you know, and I can talk right into it and it doesn't bounce anywhere.
It's incredibly absorptive. In fact, that one episode we were talking about where Dan is assembling a booth out of PVC is actually using the studio suit.
Yeah.
He would hang it from PVC pipe and it worked exceptionally well.
Yeah.
But it had a couple of little minor issues. Some of them had a little bit of a mildew problem.
Right. It took two or three bottles of Febreze to really get it smelling because they were outside. They were out in this pallet outside for 10 years. So they smelled like a Boy Scout tent.
And that is a very divisive odor. I don't know why for me, mildew smell doesn't bother me because it's like nostalgic. It reminds me of being in my parents' basement.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's like weird Barbie. It smells of basement.
Weird Barbie. Yes, exactly. That smell was very nostalgic. It didn't bother me. But for other folks, maybe not the best choice in an enclosed room.
Right. But
the other problem was it was in these massive things.
And it was a 40-foot roll, and I had to cut them into 8-foot sections.
Manageable feet, and that was not easy.
Which is why I stopped doing it. But people who have it.
And it's all still in a warehouse in Buffalo?
No, maybe. I don't know.
Who knows where it is now?
I don't know what Rob did with it, but, you know.
That was studious.
It came in these big 10-foot-long green cigars of green canvas bags. And
it's essentially loose yellow fiberglass in a canvas wrapper.
Right.
Is what it is.
And it works really well.
It works really well.
And I still have pieces. I think I got a couple pieces sitting in my voice booth over here.
Yeah, there might be some still around. Well, there's somewhere on this door over here. Oh, no, that's not.
That's one of the panels I made.
That's something you made.
Yeah.
All right. There was another question Sue had on the screen a minute ago. Let's see if we can grab to that one. She's scrolling. She's
scrolling.
Like, dang it, I had it on screen. And you guys, Patricia. Hi, Patricia. How would you prepare your voice for audiobook narration? Dan, since you don't do that anymore.
Yeah, I gave that up about 10 years ago. I mean, there's a lot of you guys out there doing audiobooks.
While you come up with an answer, I'll search for it on our chat bot.
Yeah, you know, to me, audiobooks were always high effort, low reward. How do you prepare your voice for that? You warm up. I come out here in the morning and go, la 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 la. I do scales. You go, wah, wah, oh, oh. Do the vocal exercises to really loosen up your voice. But doing a long session of audiobook, I mean, where you read an entire chapter. And,
long form narration is physically exhausting.
Can be, you know,
I mean, when I have to talk all day as not being a voice actor, I get physically tired and I can feel it in my throat. I feel how tired I am.
Yeah. I was in really good shape back in those days and I could do, if you're in good physical condition,
Mm-hmm.
And I was working with a trainer back then, and I was able to, but the door swung open and a Fig Newton entered, as Groucho Marx once said. But, you know, you have to be in good physical condition, really, to do voiceover, because there's so many people that try to read a sentence and take a breath every 5 seconds, you know.
Right.
You should be able to read an entire sentence without taking a breath. Look, think about how much editing time you save just by doing that. But what did the chatbot come up with?
It came up with a bullet list of stuff.
Okay.
Which is, you know, chatbots are really good at making lists. And by the way, I have been using my own personal George the Tech bot, you know, my AI George, for like a month and a half answering you guys' questions on Facebook and Reddit. I don't know how much you've... If you've seen answers from me that are remarkably well-written and verbose, possibly broken down into 8 to 10 bullet points, it was probably my chatbot. I've been using it a lot. But the answer is 8 points. Warm up your voice. And there's more details for each one of these, but warm up your voice, just like Dan said. Stay hydrated. Thank you for the reminder.
Oh, I forgot. Because I don't stay hydrated. I don't drink at all. I mean, I got to
start using
water intake. But
practice reading out loud if this is something new for you. Understand the material you're reading. Pretty important.
It helps.
Yeah. It really does help. Work on your breathing, proper breathing technique. Very crucial. I'm just repeating what Dan said. See, look how relevant
this
is.
It's all up here.
Create a comfortable recording environment. Extremely important for audiobooks when you're going to be there for hours and hours recording. Rest your voice. Yeah. How long would you go between breaks? How long did you know before you're like, I got to take a break? More than 2 hours?
Yeah, I mean, I could do a chapter in an hour and I would stop.
You would take a break.
I'd take a break, have a drink, you know, and go back at it.
Okay.
Although generally, back in the day, I would record and I would edit the chapter.
You like to do it as you go. Yeah.
I
that would be my tendency. Yeah. It would be so in my head that I just recorded.
Right.
And I would just be thinking, I gotta edit it. I can't let it go. That would be me. I would edit
it. I'm the same way. You know, are you coming for lunch? Yeah, I'll be there in a couple minutes.
Editing this. Yeah. And the very last one, which may be the most important bullet point of all, is seek feedback and training. Listen to people, get advice from professionals.
Yeah.
Don't think you know everything. And just because you have a chatbot doesn't mean you have all the answers.
Right.
And get help because
or ask us. You know,
get help.
Yeah,
great question.
Yeah. So, and cripes, we've been doing this all these years. Mm-hmm. The thing is the more you do it, all the years that you and I have spent building home voiceover studios, very specifically. I mean, did we know everything when we started?
No, of course not.
I mean, it was an old George Carlin joke. How do you start a path? You got to hold the grass down yourself at first.
But, that's a great line.
Yeah.
I remember that one.
Well, Carlin had a bunch of them.
Yeah.
But we learned, you know, the more experience. Nobody has as much experience at home studios as you and I do.
This has been an absolute obsession for a very long time.
Yeah. And, you know, everybody else is like, oh, here's how you be an engineer. You don't have to be an engineer.
Yeah. You got to learn Pro Tools. That's the industry standard.
Which industry are you talking about?
Yeah, let's talk about which industry we're talking about. Right.
You're not a recording engineer. You're a voice actor. Your job is to capture your voice in the proper acoustical environment with the right levels. And now AI is controlling that stuff.
Well, AI and 32-bit float, which is a topic I have been teasing that I'm going to do a webinar or a video on 32-bit float for a very long time, and it's time. So I'm going to be doing that soon because the question keeps coming up more and more often, and I've got two perfect devices to test. I've got the Rode NT1 5th Gen with the 32-bit float, USB AD converter magic sauce.
Right.
And I have a Zoom UAC232, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Which is sort of like their Scarlett 2i2.
Yeah. Right?
It's an audio interface with no gain knobs.
Oh.
It has zero gain knobs.
The Evo 4 is like that too. Well, it will set a level.
It has a smart level. That's a whole nother thing. So smart level setting. This is becoming more of a thing, especially now the new Scarlett 2i2 fourth generation.
Mm-hmm.
Came out. It has auto level and safe modes.
Mm.
I'm still dubious on the safe mode. I was watching all these YouTube videos trying to get a better explanation.
Basically a limiter or?
That's what I don't understand. I don't know if it's a limiter where it, when you get to clipping like zero, it brings the level down for just a, for a moment and then back.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it drops it down and then leaves it down.
Right.
If it was me, the way I would want that feature to be is if you do get to clipping, that it would drop the level by, I don't know, let's say 6 dB,
just
like that. And then for the duration of the entire rest of the project, it would be 6 down. Because then if you're editing the audio, you know the precise moment where the gain changed,
right.
And now you can just make your adjustment in post.
Right.
You just take the first half and drop it down by 6, boom, you're done. So I don't know. I the jury's still out on that. Right. Now, speaking of the Scarlett, you notice I didn't mention the Scarlett Solo.
Right.
Do not get the Scarlett Solo fourth generation because...
Because?
Channel 1
yeah.
is the guitar. Channel 2
is
the mic.
Okay.
They flipped it on us. And now, so if you're
just
trying to use
just to
this,
mess with you.
Oh, it's so irritating. Now, I mean, a lot of like Zoom type programs just automatically hear both channels and it's a piece of cake. But your DAW isn't going to work that way. So if you're just used to plugging in a mic to channel 1, hitting record, you're going to get zero on your track unless you go into the settings, switch the inputs. Now, I know that sounds easy, but trust me, it's a pain in the neck when it's not the default.
Right.
And so I really don't recommend the Solo. The 2i2, fine. The 4i4 has much more complicated software. If you're geeking out on making mix minuses and all this crap, go for it.
Yeah. It's fun to be a geek. I mean, if you want to play with stuff, but you don't need it for doing voiceover. Catch it clean up front and you know, we've only been saying that for 13 years and sure.
Yeah, let's grab some more questions. John O'Rourke, of all the home studios you each have worked on, what ones were your favorites and why? Can you remember anything that you worked on that just stands out?
Let's see.
What's the one that flashes to your brain immediately?
Oh, some of the ones, you know, when you would go into these big expensive houses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm suddenly in this mansion up in you know, the Encino.
You're in the gated part of the gated part?
Right, exactly.
The gate of the gated community?
Yeah, and you have to go in there and like, I'm here, you know. Okay, you go in there and you're suddenly in this very, very nice closet. And you see the kind of clothes people wear and that sort of thing. And I've done that many times.
And you realize they have a perfect booth already.
Right.
Because they have this huge closet.
Right.
There's clothing on maybe all four sides. If
right.
It's a big one, right?
Right.
And you put the mic in there.
It's the one, I mean, I've done so many. It's the ones that look impossible and you just do make a couple of little adjustments and it sounds good the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you always say, if it sounds good,
it is good.
I mean, I won't mention any names, but you know, there are a lot of places where they're a challenge. I go into a place and I sniff, as I like to say. All right, what does it sound like over here? Okay. All right, if you place yourself here, this is the sweet spot. Put the mic like this. And you know, I just, you know, rinse and repeat. And I always get it right because, you know, I don't want to overcomplicate it. I'll show people how to edit properly. But, you know, there's not one that was a favorite. I love doing all of them, you know, unless someone was a real pain in the ass, which was very rare. We're just a little Looney Tunes.
It's pretty rare.
Yeah.
We're working with people.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And of course there were a lot more people trying to get into it who had no experience at recording.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, that's the fun part for me was, you know, quickly setting up, but then explaining the business to them.
Yep.
Like, I mean, I'm always making this joke.
That's the extra special sauce of having one of us there physically with you or working with you.
Right.
There's so many other things that just flow out. Because we've been in these environments so many times and we find little things to improve or tweak.
Exactly.
Or little tips, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, trying to deal with background noise and, you know, and I always say, well, you live where you choose to live. You
know,
if you're next to a construction site, you know, you're SOL.
That reminds me
of
that one time. Okay, actually, let me show you. I'll show you my favorite studio before we go on. My favorite studio to this day is still this
that one. Yeah, well, I've been in that one.
Speaking of the impossible studio, right?
Yeah.
Look at this thing. It's a freaking glass fish tank, right?
Right.
How can that possibly work? The glass is all parallel. There's right. no slanty glass.
Right.
The room is basically a square.
Right.
You know? So it's glass, square, big, huge countertop. And there's a glass window on the opposite side. Also perfectly parallel.
Right.
So every rule is broken in this right, space.
Right. Why is the glass slanted, though, in most studios? There's not two, for acoustical reasons.
There's two reasons.
One is no glare, so you can see through
the window. That's the big one. Like,
In radio studios, it was like, you know, okay, 3, 2, 1.
You know, try looking through the door of your studio bricks or really any glass door that has double layers of glass
right.
and all you see is yourself.
Right.
All you see is a reflection. Right. So that's one huge reason why the non-parallel glass is the norm. It can help in a small booth too because the sound now reflects downward, you know, instead of right back at the mic, you know,
right.
but it's not necessary. And this is an example of that. Why does it work? Well, it works because mic placement is critical. We have the acoustics all focused on one location where the mic is. The entire ceiling of the booth is one gigantic bass trap.
Right.
So there's no resonances or anything, the whole thing. And every square inch that isn't glass or wood has acoustical paneling on it. So I put that drape in there thinking, well, we're going to need a drape because it's going to reflect.
Right.
Nope. He never closes the drape. So this one is a real favorite of mine. It's got stained glass in it because that window was already on the outside of the house. We're right. like, what are we going to do with that glass window? Well, we should frame it out. So, you know, this one's a favorite, but there you go. You can see where the two mics are located. He's facing right into a huge,
it's a beautiful studio
panel, you know,
it really was.
And that one's still, that's Howard Parker. It's still in use today. And so, yeah, that one's that always comes straight to mind when that question comes up.
Yeah. It's always fun to see how people have already set up, you know, and then it's like, no, you know, you're talking into the side of the mic or you're talking on the wrong side of the mic.
Yeah. Let's demonstrate it
every week.
Yeah. Let's demonstrate that. Everybody needs to hear the wrong side of the mic.
Right. Talk into the logo. Or if you got a road, into the gold dot, not across it. You
know, the gold dot, kids, the gold dot.
You know, something just came to mind.
Yeah.
One of my favorite shows that we did, well, actually, I ended up doing it, was the one I did from Hershey. the Russian talk
amazing.
Show. You know, where I'm like, is anybody here a floor director at a TV station?
Totally
one guy says, I do that.
Totally cable access.
Yeah. And we did it. It was all with analog cameras. And I had one of those
like
switchers,
Sony
switchers.
Old Sony Handycams with the RCA cables plugged into a Radio Shack
right.
TV switcher. Like, I want to watch a VHS click.
Right.
That was the switcher.
Right. You know, the Genlock was a little late, but you know.
it was a little flunky, but it worked.
But it was fun. It was, you know, I'm like, hey, I'm here at FAFCON. Here, let's talk to this person. And oh God, that was a lot of fun. You know, again, it was. There were no rules. It didn't matter.
Yeah, we just went for it.
I think people need to start living their lives that way. It's like, well, yeah, there are rules. You know, you stop at a stop sign and, you know, things, you don't kill other people and things, but there are rules too.
When it comes to live streaming and doing a show.
Just go with it.
There's very few rules.
As we've been doing for the last hour and 15 minutes here.
Exactly.
But maybe, you know, do we have any more questions or?
Yeah, I know there's more in there.
All right. Well, let's answer a few more.
I'm changing the price on the chatbot.
Okay, good. This is the other thing. While we're doing this show, he's on the internet going, oh, God, I got to have something for tech talk.
That's why the laptop is always right in front of me.
It's like, oh, wait a sec. I hear somebody at the door. Come on in.
There, problem, product price changed.
Excellent.
It's Mishka, $10, come here. It's $10
come here,
a month.
Now. Come here. We've also had several dogs that have been in the studio. We had Ari all those years and Tink.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have Mishka.
Mishka.
Mishka likes to lick microphones. Lick the mic. Lick
and it. Why not?
Lick it. Lick it.
Lick you gonna it. Lick the mic? Gonna lick the mic? No? Okay. Sue has a question from somebody.
From Greg Hernandez. Hey, what's Greg. Your favorite part of VOBS? Is it the interviews or the tech talk?
Tech talk.
Tech talk.
Tech talk.
Tech talk.
Tech talk. Tech talk. Tech talk. Tech talk. Tech talk. Tech talk. Yeah. No, I mean, it was fun meeting some really cool people.
Absolutely.
I mean, I had Fred Melamed in here. People who were, you know, fairly big stars.
Yeah.
Debbie Derryberry was always a pleasure to talk to. And some of the cool people that we've met. And it was interesting, you know, when they would come and they would be in my house and they'd come here and they'd sit here and I'd get to look up their nostrils and everything. It was kind of cool. But you and I just shooting the poop here about all this stuff because
I mean, clearly we've had the highlights are pretty obvious and we've talked about them a lot, like June Foray coming into the studio.
Yeah.
I mean, who's passed on by now, and just her live interaction with Dan and just, she was amazing. Gosh, I mean,
you know, and we had some great coaches on too. I mean,
so many great coaches.
You know, Dave Walsh, who was always fun to have on, and Mark Cashman, and John Bailey. I mean,
we've had some friends of the shows over the year. John Taylor.
John Taylor. Where is John?
He's out in Palm Springs.
Oh, he's in Palm Springs.
Yeah, he's loving his life in Palm Springs.
Good for him.
John, search for any episode with John Taylor.
Yeah.
And you will laugh. But John Bailey became another friend of the show.
Yeah.
If we were like, dang it, so-and-so got booked.
Yeah.
Call John. See if John can do it.
And he would write back, who canceled?
And we'd bring him in. John Bailey is a fantastic guest.
Yeah.
If you go to the chatbot, that's a picture of John in the middle of the guy in the middle is John. He doesn't look anything like that now.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and Scott Parkin. Yeah, we had some fun times with Scott Parkin because he would always bring a bottle of rum.
Oh yeah, who were the guests we had that would bring booze? It was Scott.
Yeah,
and it was Compost Productions. Oh no! I'm gonna have to use the chatbot. I'm gonna have to use the
Bill
chatbot.
Holmes.
Bill Holmes. Sorry, Bill.
it came. It was in back in the back of my mind. There
sorry,
somewhere.
Bill. Bill Holmes. Those Bill two Holmes. Guys would show up to the studio usually with shots.
Yes.
And so within the first hour, we were getting a little bit schnockered and getting pretty loose on the mic. Yeah.
Yeah. Those were fun shows.
Mm-hmm.
And you know. It was just fun. If it wasn't fun, we wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, and when it became more.
It still was fun, but there was more the labor of it, of the grind of it.
Well, you know, but the
it's not shoveling snow.
No, it's not.
And it's not mining coal.
No, it's not. Although there is a certain pleasure to shoveling snow. Like, well, I'm proud of this driveway as it starts snowing again. It's like, but.
Well, we didn't have the snow. Well, we had the snow, but it was the leaves. Right. Should we wait till all the leaves fall out of the trees before we start cleaning up the leaves?
Right. Yeah. And then there were the my tips of the week, which were well planned out productions. We got to do packages.
Oh yeah,
we can't just be our talking for hours.
Pre-recorded packages. Yeah.
And those are still on the internet. Those are on. I think those are still on the VOBS website, and you know, you can type in tip of the week and it'll give you all the different tips of the week that I made.
Chris Anthony Lansdowne, thank you for speaking up.
The voice of
Barbie.
She
said we had Barbie. Of course we had Barbie. Thanks, Chris. Yes, we had the voice of Barbie.
Yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, where else can you, the funny thing was people would recognize me places. I'm sure it happened to you too. I'm walking down the street in Pebble Beach or in Carmel by the Sea.
People don't recognize me because I'm usually wearing a helmet and I'm on a bike going 15, 20 miles an hour.
I'm walking down the street. My son had just graduated from Middlebury College in Ventura. And not in Ventura, up in the Monterey Bay, upper Monterey. And so we went into Carmel by the Sea, which is a beautiful little town.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And this guy's standing on the corner. I'm walking by there with my mom. And he goes, aren't you Dan Leonard? I'm like, yes, I watch your show. I'm like, great. My mother was very impressed. You know, it happened in a subway a couple of times. You know, people see the mustache and they were like, oh, you're the guy that has that show on VoiceOver. So clearly we were doing pretty well. And then people would send me mustache stuff. There was so much mustache stuff. What?
Huh? I was trying to get her attention without getting distracting
you, but it didn't work.
No, well, you're going like this. I mean, what?
No, I just want to make sure Sue had to go at some point.
Oh, okay, yeah. At some point. Well, okay, we'll finish up in 5 minutes here.
5 or 10 minutes.
Do you want to run all the best wishes? Oh,
yeah. Sure.
We have best wishes from people?
We do. I got to let Mishka out.
All right, you let that. Hey, Bonnie. That's my cousin Bonnie in Pennsylvania. She's just a little older than me, and she was one of my best pals growing up. Hey, Bonnie. Thanks for saying that. Trey, Mr. Trey Kendrick Mosley, who has his own podcast. Good to see you, fellas, says Trey. Alicia Hurley says, where can we find new tech talk, like all the new gadgets George talks about? Well, I guess moving forward, I guess my other show now, the Pro Audio Suite, it's probably the place to go because that's where I'm releasing new content and, you know, so
yeah,
check that out. It's a very different vibe, definitely more geeky, but yeah, it's called the Pro Audio Suite and we release stuff every week. So that's one place to go. Paul Sager, thanks for everything you too. Thanks for saying that.
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah. Oh, man. Justin Rama says, yes, thank you, Jack. I watched all of EWABs, and thanks to him, I was able to take notes easier. So he's thanking Jack DeGaulia for doing all the manually written show notes.
Right.
Which is things that just aren't going to be happening anymore because of AI. Joan Covino says, thanks for sharing your expertise, humor, and insight over the years. Thanks, Joan.
Yeah.
We recognize a lot of names, but that one I didn't remember. Yeah. Umberto Franco in Portugal. It's 3 a.m. and he's watching live from Portugal.
You rock, Umberto.
You do. Oh. I mean, also, I know that he works like Pacific time hours because that's where all the clients are.
Yeah.
But thanks, Umberto.
He's an interesting guy because
he's so great.
Yeah. It's like, well, you speak because he's in Portugal. He speaks Portuguese.
He's Portuguese.
And I once said, oh, so you could do stuff in Brazil. He goes, they don't speak Portuguese in Brazil. That's some other language.
Well, that's like saying that you speak Spanish, but you're from Mexico versus from Spain. I mean, you know, these are very different dialects.
Right.
But yeah, you can understand it.
Right.
Bill Hepburn says, thank you. I've immensely valued listening to the two of you over the past 18 months. And as I've started my VO journey, so much learning, so much more to learn. Hashtag thankful.
All right.
Thank you. Eddie, Mr. All Caps.
Eddie.
Sure hate to see you two masters go. Thanks for everything. Thanks, Eddie.
Yeah.
You are a great supporter of the show. And Sue, too. Thank you, too, Sue. By the way, the desk that Sue's sitting at is thanks to Eddie.
Yeah.
Eddie found this desk at Costco. He's like, he had one. He's like, I got to get one for the show. He says, you guys want to get one of these? He's like, I want to get you this desk. We couldn't say no.
He
showed up and he brought this freaking super cool electric lift desk in the studio roughly five years ago. And it's been here ever since. Thanks. Yep. Thanks, Eddie.
It's moved around a little bit, but you know.
Thanks, Eddie. You're awesome. Larry Hudson, our old buddy.
Larry.
I'm over here all by myself laughing hysterically out loud. You guys have created an amazing legacy of greatness. Yeah, man, that means a lot, Larry. Yeah. Larry lives up in the mountains.
Up in Wrightwood.
Yeah, he's way out. It's
boonies. 10 foot of snow up there. I mean,
they really get to snow.
An hour from here, and suddenly there's, you know, all that snow.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
We love Larry. Larry, by the way, Larry, again, I was mentioning here, Larry was the one that told me, you got to move out to California. You're going to love it here.
Yeah, that was that Larry. That Larry. Diana Costello Merritt. Oh, wow.
Diana.
We go back.
Oh, geez.
Good times. Love y'all.
Nice Buffalo gal. Yeah.
I remember hanging out with her at
FAFCON.
Yeah, it's probably Via Atlanta, FAFCON, that kind of thing.
We miss you. We haven't talked in a long time.
Did she have the temporary tattoos?
I don't know.
I feel like she had temporary tattoos and we were sticking on everybody and laughing our
butts. Oh, that might have been going on at one of those conferences, but
speaking of stickers, not to get, but there's a sticker on the back of that mic. I'm going to mute it for a second while you while you take it out of there. But there's a very special sticker on the back of Dan's mic that I know will be very hard to show on frame. But
we had this tradition in
Wovo.
There's this guy, Pat Sweeney. Who was a big fan of our show. One of those people, he was like my grandmother. He had a different relationship with everybody and everybody loved him because he was just a super duper guy. And, he passed on. And so we have this thing, he used to say, you gave somebody a golden nugget and would give him a slap on the back. And we came up with these stickers that say a pat on the back. And that's his testament. And boy, we miss you. Yeah. God, he was such a
nice guy. You, Pat. Yeah, there are so many great people. I don't want to get into a list of people we've lost because I can't hold it together. I'm not a professional. there have been quite a few that we've lost over the years that have been our clients and friends of the show and all this stuff. And Pat, I'll never forget you. And I'm glad you have that sticker on your mic because it'll always remember. That,
always give out advice.
And I know you like looking at Pat, but Pat's on the back of the mic.
Oh, I know. It's
part of it, but... Kids, that's the back of the mic. That's at the back of the mic.
I'm talking on the wrong side here, aren't I? Okay, there we go. Now I'm in the right side. Okay,
there you go.
Anyway.
That's what the back of the mic sounds like.
Well, it's Lee 9 o'clock Penny. Here in California.
Love you, Lee.
Lee,
by the way.
And Lee Penny.
Whatever we say for Lee Penny for being Lee Penny. Lee was a very early on supporter of our show as well, coming into the studio, helping us with some tech stuff early on. Big time supporter of our show. Thanks, Lee, for being there all these years. God, it's been a blast.
Yeah. So I guess that's going to wrap it up.
It's going to wrap it up. If you want to eternally, I know, I'm getting a little verklempt. talk amongst yourselves. We'll have some coffee and we'll talk. It's been a great time. And we're going to be continuing to do things just in different formats and different ways. But if you want to keep tapping into our knowledge, VOBS.TV, and you'll access our chatbot there for now $10. For $10 a month, 14 days free trial. Play with it. Test it. And if it works well. And by the way, Dan, you're going to be giving this chatbot to some supporters of our show.
Yes.
And to
Wovo members.
So if you are a Wovo member, World Voices member in good standing, you're going to get access to the chatbot for free.
Yep.
And everybody who are making repeat subscription support of our show.
So who are sending us money, like on PBS, send in your dollars. People would send us money and it helped with the equipment and all those things. And people did it for years and years and we really appreciate
it. We're going to find a way to give you guys access to the chatbot too.
Yeah.
So use it, enjoy it, share it, tell people about it. And we want to keep helping people for years to come this way.
So I guess that'll put a wrap on it.
That'll do it, man.
And always a pleasure. Fortunately, we live in the same town. We can still have lunch.
Of course. But we have to go to Chicago to WovoCon.
Oh, yes.
Because that's the only that's how it works. The only time you see people from LA is when you go to a conference.
Another
city.
Yeah, you try to get together with people in LA. It's almost impossible. I got to cancel. I can't come. You're like, see, everybody knows that. You know, it's very hard to make friends here. Everybody has to. It's a discipline.
It is.
Making friends and keeping friends and being friends and being friends means giving. And, and I think everybody needs to learn that and do that. Some people are better at it than others. But when you have friends, it makes the world a much nicer place.
Absolutely, man. Thank you.
And it's always been a pleasure working with you doing this show. Who would have thought that we'd be doing it for 13 years?
I know. And Sue, thanks for hanging in with
Sue,
us for
so
long. I mean, you've been our longest continuous technical director and,
seven years.
7 years. You've taken off so much stress off our shoulders doing this.
I feel like I could teach someone how to set up their audio.
Sue's an incredibly versatile person. She has so many skills. Sue, what's your email address?
Email?
Can I plug your email?
It's my last name. I'll
Merlino Sue at
gmail.com.
Right. If you need her for anything, production, podcasting, live streaming, setting up your studio, setting up your lighting properly.
Yeah, she knows that stuff.
She's brilliant.
Yes. But, you know, we're still in business. You've got George the Tech. I'm still the home studio master. And, you know, you can send your stuff into my specimen collection box.
And VOBS fan 10 off coupon code. I think it still works on my website.
Oh, good.
If it doesn't, tell me. I'll fix it. But
exactly.
It should still work. 10% off.
Yeah. And, you know, it's what we love to do is teach people how to do it right. Because if somebody sounds bad, it makes everybody sound bad.
But if it sounds good.
It is good. By the way, I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this has been VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VOBS. Thanks, everybody. You've been wonderful.
Thanks, everybody. Big heart.